Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. We'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. He'll be with us from 8 to 8:30, talking all things Titans. We'll get his thoughts on some prospects that he saw at the Senior Bowl last week as well. So looking forward to that with TD coming up in the next hour at 8 o'clock. In the meantime, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. So, Joe, we brought up the NFL honors earlier. So C.J. Stroud winning Offensive Rookie of the Year last night. Will Anderson of the Texans winning Defensive Rookie of the Year. So for the second year in a row, the offensive and defensive rookies of the year coming from the same team, and this time it's the Houston Texans. So, look, when you start listing off surprise teams in the league this season, the Texans are probably at number one, given what they did. And, look, I mean, the Colts aren't that far behind them. But Houston not only makes the playoffs, wins the division in C.J. Stroud's rookie year, they win a playoff game against the Cleveland Browns. And the trajectory, at least from the outside looking in, looks really good for Houston. You've got a quarterback that played at an incredibly high level all season long. You got the defensive rookie of the year. You got a head coach in D'Amico Ryans that looks like he's put together a really good staff, and they've done an excellent job. And some of the receivers that honestly were a little bit no-name guys heading into the year that we didn't think much about, they turned out to be a pretty darn good football team. So I remember this time last year, Joe, and it's a little bit of a different circumstance because – the Titans had blown the division, and they had lost seven games in a row, and it kind of felt in some ways like the Titans handed Jacksonville the division more than Jacksonville actually went up there and took it. Having said that, a lot of we knew what the talk was going to be last offseason, and we saw it heading into the year. Jacksonville was the popular pick to win the division. A lot of people thought Jacksonville had a chance to maybe make some noise in the AFC. I remember talking to Michael DiRocco like before the year, talking about how it could be like a top five offense and the weapons that they put together and all these things. And that's what it's going to be for Houston next year. Like when division picks come out, everybody's going to be picking the Texans to win. Everybody's going to be picking C.J. Stroud to have a huge year and to be in the MVP conversation and all those things. And my question to you, my questions to Titans fans are we buying that? Are we anointing the Houston Texans yet? Or are we leaving open the possibility that maybe they're just like, you know, last year's Jacksonville team? It's a one-year thing, and they don't have staying power. How do we view the Houston Texans heading into next season, given what we know about them at the moment before the offseason comes and all these teams change anyway?
I think I feel a little bit better about buying them to back up those expectations a little bit better than I did about the Jags a year ago. Now, I did pick the Jags to win the division this year, so I thought the Jags would be better than they were. I thought Trevor Lawrence would take another step, and I don't think he did. Health may be a part of that, but still, it's a small sample size. It's 1 year. And the big thing is, and I think that maybe the Lions will encounter this next year, when you have a year like this, it is, you know, you can sneak up on people when you've been as bad as they were for years. And they did. And next year is obviously going to be different, you know, right? Next year, first of all, first-place schedule, and I haven't even looked at what that means for them, but usually that means, you know, some pretty good teams on your schedule and just teams just more aware of what you are. But I it's hard not to buy Stroud, Ryans, Anderson, like you said, Dellen Collins, you know, outside, some other really good pieces in the secondary and the offensive line. Also, a team with, you know, the Titans. We talk about the Titans cap space, which, you know, right now Spotrac has it $74 million. You know, it's around there. Texans are right behind them, $66 million.
Yep.
And the Colts are right behind them, $66 million. So all three of those teams are, you know, have the flexibility to go out and make some big moves. And yes, it absolutely matters what your cap space is going into an offseason. So you have that. Their draft picks. Yeah, you know, I don't know where their first round pick is this year, but they have Cleveland's. So Zach on the text line put Deshaun Watson up as punchable face candidate. Boy, the whole Deshaun Watson thing in an indirect way, could be very, you know, punchable of a wall for the rest of the AFC South, because it's helped the Texans really replenish and reboot and turn into, I think, a team that looks really promising. They got a 1-2. They also have a 4 from Cleveland. Yeah, 3 from Philly. Got 2 4s. So they've got their picks. They have 5 picks, you know, in the top 4 rounds too. So they're set up pretty well.
They're set up pretty well, and I think the reason that I do buy them, and that I think Titans fans should be very nervous about them moving forward, the level of quarterback play that we saw from C.J. Stroud this year goes far beyond anything Trevor Lawrence has done. And I still believe, like, Trevor Lawrence coming out of college, I thought he was going to be a great player. And I do think he's good. Like, when he's healthy, I think he's a good quarterback. I'm starting to believe less and less that he's ever going to be a great quarterback. C.J. Stroud, and it's 1 year, and we'll see if he can follow it up. But, I mean, you're talking about 4,100 yards, 8-2 an attempt, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, completed 64% of his passes. He's unbelievable in his rookie year, and I get it. Like, we've talked about it. His offensive line was certainly better than the Titans. Now, having said that, there are a lot of injuries that they dealt with on that offensive line in Houston this year. But, you know, Dalton Schultz played really well. Nico Collins, like, that offense and the weapons around him, I think, ended up being way better than we thought heading into the season. So there is that to consider. Bobby Slowick did a really good job. We talked about him in the head coaching candidate process. But the level of quarterback play that he reached this year was way beyond anything that we've seen from Trevor Lawrence at this point. And that would be what scares me to death if I'm a Titans fan moving forward is – Is he gonna build on that? I mean, even if he keeps it the same, that's pretty darn good quarterback play.
Yeah, is he a one-hit wonder? You know, the thing that I, you know, missed with him, I think, is just, you know, just the ball placement. It's still what's more important than accuracy? You know, seeing it and getting it there on time and accurately, and he's just really good at that. He had some bad weeks too. He had some weeks where he looked like a rookie. No, I mean, no one ever is consistently great week after week in this league. But, yeah, overall, it's very impressive. I'm with you. So, far beyond anything Trevor Lawrence has done, that is a strong statement.
Oh, I think it's pretty clear.
I think Lawrence has had some stretches, certainly some games, but even some stretches where I thought we were seeing it. But I would definitely say, yeah, like right now, if I had the same exact team, same exact conditions, and you're picking between Lawrence and Stroud, I think I'd probably go Stroud. And I certainly wouldn't have said that a year ago, obviously, right? You know, I mean, I was too down on Stroud coming out. It's always the quarterback that's completely surrounded by a ridiculous talent, way more talented team, which I guess maybe that turns out to be the case with Bryce Young a little bit, you know? I still am not giving up on him, but I can't say anything but positives about Stroud and his future. And like you said, Slowick's a big deal too, like for next year for them building on it, to keep that going, because obviously they had a good thing going.
Well, and you know, the interesting part about this too is, like, we talk about them being the next Jacksonville. Could that be a possibility? Well, at one point Jacksonville was 8-3, right? And it looked like they were running away with the division, and then they collapsed and they had some injuries, and then, you know, it wasn't as simple as the injuries. They started to play really poorly too. But it just goes to show you that things also in this league can change on you pretty quickly. And I mean, I'm looking at their schedule next year. And look, we talked about the Titans schedule the other day. For a team that finished in last place in their division, it's still a pretty difficult schedule for the Titans next year. I mean, Houston has Kansas City on the road, Baltimore at home, Dallas on the road, the Jets on the road, the Lions at home. I mean, there's a lot of really challenging – the Bills, the Dolphins, there's some challenging games that they got on that schedule with the first-place schedule next year.
Yeah, and people respected them and, you know, knowing that they've got to bring it in a given week. Thank you, Cam. That their first went to move to Arizona last year, obviously. Should have remembered that. So there you go. And Will Anderson looks pretty good. I mean,
it's worth it.
Some nice building blocks. Jared from Spring Hill says, I would rather have Houston's future than ours. Yeah, I mean, look, at this point, sure. I mean, they have a better team right now. They have a better roster right now. And, I mean, I'm open mind for sure on Will Levis, but that's a high bar to be as good as C.J. Stroud.
So are you buying into the Houston Texans as the team you're most scared of in the AFC South for the foreseeable future? Are they for real heading into next year? Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you.
More coming up next, Robbie
on this Friday morning. I got some wristbands to give away, a 4-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention coming up at Opryland next week, February 14th through the 18th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention coming up at Opryland next week, February 14th through the 18th.
You're actually going to go on Valentine's Day?
No, I'm going next Friday.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, that's bold.
Yeah, I'd probably get in trouble for that.
Yeah, that's probably a bad move. Yeah. But so, it could, unless, but it could be for couples also.
Well, there's thousands of people wandering around there. So, there's a lot of stuff to do. The turkey callers are my favorite. I think you'd excel at that competition.
I'd try it.
You big turkey caller?
I mean, I've heard them. I think they're cool.
I think you could do it.
Yeah, I'd give it a try.
Give me
some wild turkey.
Scott Stapp and Joe Rexroad attend the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention together.
I hope we become friends.
I hope you do too.
Great.
Throwing it out there, the Houston Texans, obviously an impressive season. We buy an end to them being the team to beat for the foreseeable future in the AFC South. We've had some different answers on this. I got let me pull up my Twitter comment because it played basically into the Jacksonville. Ron on Twitter says, the same way we were supposed to worry about the Jags last year, it's the NFL and nothing is concrete year to year. Jackson on the text line says, I'm buying into Houston. Stroud's legit, but things change quickly. I remember feeling the same way about Andrew Luck and the Colts. Then Deshaun Watson with the Texans and Lawrence getting drafted by the Jags. You never know what can happen or what can change, and we could be talking about Will Levis being the best quarterback in the division this time next year. Who knows?
Well, you were right about Andrew Luck and the Colts, and he left. And then you were right about Deshaun Watson, and a lot of stuff fell apart there. So some unforeseen circumstances in both of those, right? I think Lawrence is more of like the, maybe he's just a little bit overestimated. Like, by the way, 99% of quarterbacks who come in the NFL, right? The hope for a quarterback coming who's drafted high, very few of them reach that hope. So, and I hear you on the Jags, but the Jags were so good last year. They folded late. It's not like it was a complete miss on the Jags being good this year. Next year is interesting. I mean, I think, like you said, the Texans will be picked to win. And the only thing I'm confident is the Texans will be picked to win the AFC South and the Titans will be picked last. I think that's,
yes.
I think those two things will be true. And like the Colts are totally a wild card here.
I have no idea what to make of them.
Decent team. Great job. Shoot, they were right there, right there. And Minshew just lost. They didn't have quite enough magic or they win the division. But Anthony Richardson's with the story. And I don't know. Yeah. I like his talent. We'll see.
Andrew on the text line says, I'm just amazed folks still think next year is the year for Trevor Lawrence and Herbert prove how great they are. They're literally young Tannehills. This is from Andrew on the text line. What do you think of that?
I don't think I'd put any of them together. Herbert's good, man. Like, he's got to prove it, and we'll see. Like, if Harbaugh should be a good pairing, and it should work for him. Justin Herbert, I think, has demonstrated – and I know Lawrence beat him in a playoff game, so let's remember that. Lawrence went nuts late, and Herbert and that team folded. But I think Lawrence has still a very high ceiling in this league. Herbert, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not, like, out on Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence, like, if you're the Jags, are you thinking right now, man, maybe it's just not going to work out? I mean, he's going to be their long-term quarterback, right?
He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a good player.
And if you have a good quarterback, like, yeah, like, I would much rather have him than some of the guys who are getting second deals in this league.
Yeah.
So, basically you're needlessly ripping three people there. I mean, Tannehill has had a much better career, too, than people will ever give him credit for. I'm really interested to see what happens with him this offseason.
Does Brian Callahan just woo him? It's like, hey, Ryan, we really just need you to stay here.
Tannehill and
come
Henry.
Come be the backup quarterback for like $5 million and just stay here.
Yeah, Tannehill and Henry come back as backups?
Well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to doubt it.
I don't think that's going to happen. Does he get a starting opportunity somewhere?
I don't see it. I think if that was going to happen, it was going to have to be at a place like where Vrabel was the head coach or where Arthur Smith was involved. And, you know, I mean, I guess Pittsburgh could be an interesting place for him as a backup. You know, Mason Rudolph up there is a free agent, so we'll see what that looks like. So I guess if Kenny Pickett is terrible next year, he could eventually be the starter. But I don't know that I see anywhere out of the gate where Ryan Tannehill is the starter. Could be wrong.
He'll just have to do what he did here. Just wait, bide his time and come in. I mean, he's going to be a real nice two for somebody, that's for sure.
You think he ends up with Arthur in Pittsburgh? I'm just now seeing Mason Rudolph is a free agent. So,
possible.
What about Mitch? Is Mitch still under contract?
Mitch is gone.
Okay,
I think so. I mean, like Tannehill, Pickett, that could happen. And tell you what, based on what I've seen from Kenny Pickett, I think Tannehill will end up being the starter then, if that's the case.
Remember the preseason? Like, oh my God! Look at Kenny Pickett in this Pittsburgh Steeler offense.
Yeah, MVP. Someone who was
still
that?
He had him going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl, and he was the MVP.
Yeah.
Jackson says you're right, Joe. Luck and Watson were legit too, but in terms of them running the division for the next years, for the next 10 years with Stroud, who knows?
Yeah.
The NFL, like I guess you could look about 2 years ahead, and then after that, you know, I mean, like we can sit here and say, well, as long as Patrick Mahomes is playing, then he'll probably be good and they'll be good. But, you know, it's hard to look ahead too much at all in this league. You can come back quickly from being bad, and you can go down quickly from being near the top.
Yep. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how you doing, Robbie? What's up,
Joe?
What's
going on?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, hey, Joe, Captain Antoniel, I heard you the other day, man. Really? I mean, Joe, is he the guy that played the piano that wore that hat like that guy on Hogan's Heroes?
Oh, my God, now you got Hogan's Heroes. Yeah, Captain was the guy with the Captain hat, and then
I guess
she was, Tennille was, she was singing. Yeah, and Keys just still hasn't played that, has he? Hasn't
he
played that for
totally
me.
Totally ignored you pretty much.
Oh, BS.
Joe, you can't play that, man. Come on, man.
It's
Captain
a jam.
Antoniel.
It's a jam.
No, man.
I'm not ashamed.
Buddy. Yeah, I know. But you were talking about Houston. 6 to 8 million with the salary cap and stuff. You know, it's been a lot of talk, Joe, that maybe at the end of this year, Chris Jones doesn't get re-signed with the Chiefs. He ends up there. They may end up getting T. Higgins with the Bengals.
Jeez.
Adding another wide out. I think the AFC South is going to be the division here in a couple of years. I like Indy and Houston right now. I think Striking's a better coach than Doug Peterson is. And Lawrence, he's probably going to lose Josh Allen and Ridley. I think Lawrence is taking a step back. I think he's kind of peaked out where he's at, Joe. I think you get what you get with him. And I think the Titans is going to take them at least maybe 2-3 years to get to where they want to. Will that division be a great division? Yes. The schedule they got coming up next year, they are playing some hard game. Will Houston be able to duplicate that? I don't know. But, Robbie, I'm going to throw something your way.
Okay.
The guy I'm watching right now that I really love is Jordan Love. He's the guy I'm really looking at, man. He is a beast. And if he improves next year, there's no telling where your guys, the Green Bay Packers, end up being. He basically was playing like a rookie this year because he's never really started. So, I mean, look how he looked this year. If he can better himself next year, they're going to be great. He's the guy I'm watching with those young wide receivers. If they could just get a little more on defense, I think they'll be there too. But, hey, man, y'all have a good weekend. And so, Joe, let Captain Antoniel go, man. Yeah. Hey, think about that group that you hate, Joe. Creed, man. Bring them in there. Let them, you know, put
Amen.
Some of that on the radio.
Amen.
Thanks, Mark. How about
right,
a, how about a, thanks, Mark. How about a Creed cover of Love Will Keep Us Together?
Right.
Love to see it. Nick still doesn't know what the song is.
I'd love to see it.
I mean, you can get all excited about Jordan Love all over again here.
Well, I'd love to get excited about Jordan Love. He does play everybody in this division next year. So
that's right.
They're going to get a first-hand look at it.
And you said, wait a minute, they are here, right?
They're here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's, It's a little early to be like, Favre, Rodgers, Love, oh my God. Like, there's like pump the brakes a little bit. But I mean, if he does keep coming, it is such BS for the rest of the NFL. It really is.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hope it keeps going. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll switch gears. We'll get into a little Tennessee basketball, including one player for the Vols that Joe believes not getting quite enough love. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, will join us at 8 o'clock. He'll be with us for 30 minutes talking all things Titans. I'm looking forward to that. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 745, which will be hard to top yesterday's, but we'll give it our best effort at 745.
Yeah. That's an all-timer, buddy.
Yeah, it is. No question. So the Tennessee Vols men's basketball team playing extremely well right now. They took down Kentucky last week, beat LSU the other night at home, and they're on the bubble of the one-seed conversation. We talked about that the other day. And Dalton Kanecht receiving a lot of attention. Zakai Ziegler was unbelievable against Kentucky last week. We've talked about Vescovy and James and how important – they are, but there's one player, Joe Rexrode, that you believe not quite getting enough love with the Tennessee Volunteers.
Well, I think you can make the case he's their second most important player. Some people would make the case against that. I think it's hard to not have Ziegler, the point guard. I mean, first of all, I guess Dalton Kanecht. Dalton Kanecht is obviously the star. He's the leading scorer, all that stuff, so you're putting him first. You know, there are two sides of the floor, so already I get into that whole thing, you know. It's like, Draymond Green, for example, I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, not because of much that he's done on offense. But regardless, fine, let's all agree Dalton Kanecht, number one on the list, right? I mean, he's the big addition that changes them, gives them a lottery pick who can get you a bucket at all three levels and all that stuff. Ziegler's right there, but Jonas Adu's the guy. Jonas Adu is the best center that Rick Barnes has had at Tennessee. And there's some great analytics sites. We love talking about analytics on this program. EvanMaya.com, and a shout out to Kyle Tucker because he helps me, you know, figure all these things out. But it's a really cool site, and it's the most in-depth player evaluations that you can find out there. And it takes into account, you know, performance, individual metrics, all these things, but also who you're going against, who's the teammates on the floor with you, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, long story short, and I wrote this in The Athletic today, by the way. I haven't pimped an Athletic story in a while.
You haven't?
I wrote about Adu, but you know, they rank him as the number 47 most valuable player in college basketball. His defensive rating, he is 20th. And among centers overall, he's 10th as an overall player. Now, remember, college basketball now it's center heaven because they all stay and get NIL money because they're not going to sure thing pro. So Hunter Dickens is going to play college hoops as long as he can play. Zach Edey, same thing. Donovan Klingon, Janai Broome, Phil Lepowski, Baycott. You got all kinds of guys. Ballo from Arizona. So 10th among centers in college basketball is a big deal, especially because Adu is not a high volume scorer. He's their second leading scorer. He's their top rebounder. He blocks almost two shots a game. He's an incredibly important person on this team, especially defensively. You know, he protects the rim. The only guy that Rick Barnes has had who's protected the rim like that is Kyle Alexander. If we go back to when they lost to Sister Jean, you know, Kyle Alexander was hurt, and that was a huge loss in that game, a huge absence. But Adu is much more athletic, longer, and he's much more gifted offensively. I mean, he can step out and shoot. And I don't think people give Adu as much credit as he deserves here in his third year for how much he's elevated this team, too. There's a lot of focus on Ziegler, James, Vescovy, Kanecht, obviously, but Adu kind of ties it all together.
The interesting part about this group to me, beyond the Kanecht things that we've talked about, and Adu's played great too, they got a lot of depth. Like when you watch them, you know, especially, you know, watching them against Kentucky the other night, and not that they ever got in foul trouble, but I did start to think about, like, this team ever starts to get in foul trouble, they got a lot of guys they can just roll off the bench. And that's a pretty good luxury for Rick Barnes to have. It's a really deep team that they've got constructed this year.
No doubt. I mean, Tobe Awaka is a really good next guy. JP Estrella is going to be good.
Yeah.
Now, you can see it already. So they've got size. They can be. I think it's really important to have depth in the front court. Gainey has been a really good add, obviously. They're starting to play some of the other guys. They have DeLeon and Carr, too, so they can trot them out. For the most part, they go with their main guys.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, in doing this story, I kind of feel bad, and I kind of apologize in the column I wrote, but I also would like to apologize to Jonas Adu here because, you know, you do an interview with someone and you start talking. Basically, I always ask, like, a lot of the same questions, you know, what are you into other than basketball? So he starts telling me about this cologne thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you tell me, did you know, like, that cologne collection and, like, just the entire thing can be, I mean, as he's telling me about it, it sounds like people I know who are really into bourbon, for example. You know what I mean? Like, it is a deep rabbit hole. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that it went that deep with cologne.
He's got more than 60 bottles, and he's got, like, all these different brands. So anyway, as I told him that, I'm like, because I knew I was going to talk to Rick Barnes later, I'm like, man, when I tell Rick Barnes this, he's going to have a lot of fun with this stuff. And of course, he has. So in the spirit of people butchering my name, here's Rick Barnes talking about this. It was actually about a week ago, right before the Kentucky game.
Again, it goes back to I just got off an interview with Joe Rexroth, and he was telling me about Jonas's loves cologne. He's got like 60 bottles of cologne. I'm just going to suggest that whatever cologne he wore the other night, he doesn't wear it anymore, you know?
Joe Rex.
I feel like he just said your name kind of fast. I think he got it.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he got it.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I mean,
let's play it again. Just the name.
It goes
part.
Back to I just got off an interview with Joe Rex.
I think he's just saying it fast. I think he got it.
It sounds Joe like Rex. Let's put it in the text line. Did he say Rexrod or Rexrod? Rexrod. It was kind of like he wasn't sure. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Rexrod. No,
no. Joe Rexrod.
Was he thinking Rocksrod?
Maybe. What if it was Rocksrod?
Could really get after it.
Yeah, exactly.
Your name apparently very difficult.
Yeah. So, but anyway, he's now giving him crap, and he'll take a lot of crap for the perfume. Rick told me that
it's
the only thing he's. Oh, yeah, cologne, sorry. Rick said the only thing that he's ever done is skin bracer. So,
okay.
Little skin bracer, aftershave, baby.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's a big cologne guy, also a very good player, and Rick Barnes may or may not have butchered my name.
You never quite know
summarize the segment.
What's going to come up on this program.
Exactly. Cologne,
First off, he's got to be the first person I've ever heard of with, like, a deep cologne collection. Like, I didn't know that this was a thing. Like, the bourbon thing, I got some friends that do that. It's
wine.
Pretty popular. Yeah, like, I get
stamps,
it.
Star Wars figurines.
Stamps. That's a good one. There are people who do that.
Absolutely.
Stamps are expensive.
Yeah. Cologne's a new one.
Yeah. So they had that team trip to Italy, you know? And I was talking to Jemiah Mayshek. He was like, all Adu wanted to do was, like, go find these, you know, like, Italian cologne shops. It's like, dude, we're in Italy. Like, you know, you're like, all the things you can do in Italy. We're going to shop for cologne?
Yeah.
Hey, man. Like, we're talking about bottles. Some of these bottles of these Bergatti or whatever, you know, Bergari, I think. They're like hundreds of dollars per little bottle of cologne.
Paul on the text line says he said Rex Rowdy, like Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Rex, I don't know if Rex Rowdy. Rex Rowdy. Rex Raleigh? LD says Rex Raleigh. Rex Raleigh? I don't know. I mean, it was kind of an in-between, you know? It wasn't as good as Scott.
Well, I mean, come on.
Our buddy Scott.
Yeah, nothing's as good as that.
Yeah.
Coming next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program at 7:45. We will do that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph, in the aftermath of yesterday's, which is unbeatable, I turn things over to you.
Yeah, it's a tough one following up yesterday, but we have to press forward.
We do.
So, side little mini rant. I've been asking for a couple days for him to play Captain Tennille. Like, how many songs do I request? Months and months. I never request songs. Why won't you play it for me?
Can you tell me the name of the song again?
He just ignores me. That's what it is. He's just like, whatever you say.
Not intentionally,
Joe.
What
are you, my child? What are you, my teenager?
I mean, I'm...
Because I get enough of this at home.
I could be, I guess.
You
right?
could be my child.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
genuinely.
I could be actually both of your dads. So I mean, I'm not saying like I am, but I'm just saying I could be
gross.
Technically speaking.
Please, don't,
gross.
Don't say daddy again, no.
I didn't
don't.
Say daddy.
Say daddy.
I did not say daddy.
You were going there.
What is happening right now? Just play Captain Tennille. Love Will Keep Us Together by Captain Tennille. That's all I ask. We don't have to have these conversations.
I think this rant is better than what you might be doing currently.
Yeah, wow. Actually,
so
it probably
he's
is.
He's just ripping you apart.
The pre-rant is probably
the
better
pre-rant.
Than the rant.
He's expecting just a total disaster coming up.
Yeah.
It's good.
The
well,
mini PK.
Yeah, so I am bringing back an oldie but a goodie. But there's a lot of re-rants, right? And this
sure.
is definitely one of them. And you and I are both involved in this. And, again, this is also – not only is it a re-rant, but also it's always a discussion of do you want to highlight stupidity? Do right. you want to give a platform to stupidity? But the thing is, I don't think this is isolated. I really don't. This is a special case of stupidity. But the general idea is not isolated. So yesterday – we had a good conversation with David Poile, and of course the key little phrase he said, you know, I wish that Shea had never been traded.
Yeah. Discussing the Weber Subban trade, yes.
Yes, talking about Shea Weber. And he talked kind of about what led to it, the offer sheet from the Flyers, all that stuff years earlier, and the big contract. Alex Doherty tweeted that out, and so then you had and I don't even try I try not to even respond to people who aren't talking directly to me, but at Steely Dan Heatley, which, by the way, Steely Dan, one of my all-time favorite bands, said PK ruined the locker room too. PK Subban, right?
Yes, not Kuharsky.
Yes, the PK Subban, the other PK. And so I did an eye roll, and I responded. I said, annoying some people doesn't quite equal, quote, ruin the locker room. He comes back with, you don't think it's a coincidence that PK's act led to Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene mailing it in all of a sudden? It's not like PK doesn't have a reputation for duty on other teams. I'm sure you loved him because he was a great quote, but you don't have to defend him now. And then both of us are like, dude, he was gone before Duchene ever got here. How stupid is this discussion? And yet, he doubled down on this.
He did.
And said, here's what I know. The locker room was never the same after PK got here. You guys never had guys mailing it in such an obvious way before he got here. Why did it happen then? So you're saying that people who came here later were like, PK Subban was here. I think I'm going to suck now. What?
I know. I never played with him. Also, this is the question that I threw out there that just boggles my mind about this whole discussion. It's like, well, okay, so PK came here and everybody started mailing it in. It's like, well, when PK was here for 3 years.
The two best years in franchise history.
The three best years in franchise history. If you want to go by actual accomplishment, because they had a Stanley Cup final appearance, a President's Trophy win, and even though that third year was starting to, I mean, you could see it coming. They were falling off. They did win the division that year.
Right.
Which they've done
they got
two
upset.
Times.
They got
in
upset
history.
In the playoffs.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. So, like, the idea of them, they're just laying down and taking the foot off the gas when PK was here, it's like, well, they went to a cup final, won a President's Trophy, and won a division. So, I don't know that that quite adds up.
And, like, you, and then you want to blame him for crap that, like,
Duchene.
I've never heard that one. And this is a new one. But the general idea of PK was a cancer in the locker room. We've talked about it. It's just. You tell me. I mean, I talked to a lot of people. PK was a lot. He had like a team of people and all that stuff, and so it was a new thing for people to encounter. I think PK could be annoying. I thought he was great with us at times. I thought, you know, he needed to be accessible more. But you know what? That's also an NHL and Preds thing. I don't necessarily put that all on him. He, you know, when he would talk to, you know, national media or whatever a lot, he was fine. He was fine. He could be really, really good in certain moments, media-wise. As far as, yeah, I think he annoyed some guy. The idea that he was some cancer that destroyed the locker room is seriously mind-boggling to me.
Well, it's just dumb. And look, I'm with you. Like, I enjoyed covering PK. I mean, quite honestly, I enjoyed covering Shea Weber more than I did PK. And I think there's like this idea out there. It's like, oh, the media, they love PK Subban, so they got to defend him at all turns. It's like, well,
yeah,
not really, man. I mean, I like PK.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah,
but like, you know, it, just one of those things. I actually enjoyed covering Shea Weber more than I did PK Subban. So.
When this is just never going to die, though, is it?
No,
like there's some people who are going to cling to this as like what their belief.
It's just weird. Like, look at what actually happened, right? And you know, look, I hear what David Poile. If you missed that interview, you can check it out, Robbie and Rex Show, wherever you get your podcast. It was really interesting stuff. Like, you know, David Poile at the end of it was like, I wish Shea Weber was never traded, and he's had conversation with Shea about that and the way that things went down. Like, it's interesting because I hear what he's saying there, and I understand the idea behind it of, okay, he was an icon with the franchise, and one of those guys like a Pecorine or Roman Josi, which he was, that you want to see finish a career in the same uniform. Now, having said that, worked out pretty well for the Preds.
Right. It's a good trade in final analysis. Like, David Poile, they're going to have this moment Tuesday, and so, you know, the relationship's important, and I love the idea of a player, a great player, iconic player, staying the whole time. But if you told Poile yesterday in that interview, said, well, David, we actually have the ability to see the future or see the past or whatever, and you would not have made the Stanley Cup final had you not made the deal, would he still say it? I don't think he would.
Probably not. So the whole thing is just – but the PK Subban locker room cancer stuff thing, a lot of people were talking about that while he was here. And I was like, guys – and they were talking about that the year he was like a Norris Trophy finalist.
There was some Montreal stuff, but that may not have garbage. Really,
that was with like one guy.
Yeah, Gallagher.
Like him and Gallagher didn't like each other.
Right.
So like,
and Gallagher apparently had problems with other people too.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you're going to find, guess what? A lot of teams out there, even right now, all 20 guys in the room don't like all the other 20 guys. Right. Like, that happens a lot in professional sports.
I mean, Nick,
and yet they find a way to continue to do their job.
Nick doesn't like me. This program continues to carry
on. Joe, it's okay. You know? I love you. It's okay, buddy. It's all right.
Just don't call me your daddy.
He just keeps stringing along.
Hey, you like, just said it now, so hey.
By the way, Tyler, I was going to get into this. Yeah, Tyler's like, I can't. Some people, what do they have against Subban? I can't quite put my finger. What would it be? What is it about Subban that it bothers some people? I don't know. It's just hard to understand.
Maybe his spinorama.
Does have a nice spinorama. Yeah.
It's just, and the thing is, like, this was a special brand of stupid, so that's why I brought it to the rant. Because the idea that future players were then affected by PK.
You know, that Matt Duchene, he mailed it in as soon as, you know, PK was in this room that Matt Duchene was never a part of when PK was there.
Yeah, because, you know, Matt Duchene, there was never been any discussion about him having you know, being a whatever, an issue during his career. Just the PK effect. My God.
Oh, man. You know, Kyle Turris, he fell off the table because PK was in the room.
God.
Good stuff. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will be joined by Teron Davenport. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans, get his thoughts on some prospects from the Senior Bowl. TD was there and paid a lot of attention to some really intriguing prospects. We'll get his thoughts on all that. He'll be with us for the next 30 minutes. Looking forward to that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.